This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
The end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Welcome on into Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller in Louisiana, Jeff Nowak in California, hanging with the Black and Gold on Inside Black and Gold. Oh, Jeff, how's it been going? The early goings of training camp.
It's good. We haven't done one of these in a while. I was just thinking about that. I was like, right. How do we start these? Do we just dive in? Do we just jump into the deep end of the pool? Do you dip your toe in the water? I don't know. I guess we just dive in. It's been good. I mean, it's warmer than I thought it would be. Like, and I mean that in the sense of like, I haven't been cold. I go out in the, if I went out right now, I wouldn't need to get put a jacket on. It's
July in California, not Alaska.
That's fair. I guess. Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. It is still sunny outside right now. Like I don't know how long it's going to take me to adjust to the time difference, but it hasn't happened yet. Like, and I appreciate, so if you're paying attention here, if you're watching this live, you know, it's 9 PM Central. So I have to say, appreciate Steve, anyone who's listening to the podcast version of this after the fact, know that Steve stayed up late to record this after hosting Sports Talk, then showed up. I was also on Sports Talk, so if you want to hear a warmed over version of this, which is mostly just Bobby Hebert telling campfire stories,
Bears defense.
Yeah, you can go check that out. Believe it or not, somehow we got onto the Chicago Bears defense in a conversation about Saints training camp. But yeah, 2 days in, you know, These first 2 days I find to be some of the most difficult days in terms of, you know, you want to make observations, you want to make analysis about what's going on, but you just don't have enough information yet. And you're just going to, like, it's really easy to like jump overboard on something that's like a one-off, right? Like Nathan Peterman's going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints next year. I don't think that's not true, but he did have the play of the day. We'll get into that.
Nasty Nate. But
But okay, so Steve, I guess my question, and we'll get into my shit, but I guess my question is, what has been your kind of read on camp from across the country? Not completely across the country, but mostly across the country, you know, because I am curious how it's being perceived outside of this local market. And we'll obviously get into it. I'm going to flash up some highlights that we shot here for the YouTube audience.
No, one of the things I've been, at least to me, from listening to some of the podium interviews after practice and even beforehand, that pre-training camp session with Dennis Allen and Mickey Loomis, is a lot of people have been latching on to Loomis's comments about the team having that chip on their shoulder. I know Cam was asked about that yesterday. I think DeMario Davis was asked about it even today. And yeah, I would expect there to be a big chip on this team's shoulder, missing out the playoffs the last three seasons. And right now, I would say most of the national media and Las Vegas, the odds makers, don't really have high expectations for the team going into the year. But one of the things Bobby Hebert did talk about with the Saints is like, hey, it's good to be flying under the radar. Not much is expected. And then you can overperform and basically, you know, I don't want to say shock the world, but surprise everybody and be a pleasant kind of surprise to things, instead of, you know, having these expectations like the Falcons are going into this year with Kirk Cousins year one. And most people are expecting
they can only let you down. South. They can only let you down.
Right, right, exactly.
Whereas the Saints, based on where the people have them, they can only, you know, how much, if they lose 10 games, you'd be like, yeah, that's what they all told us they were going to do, right?
Yes, so 7.5 wins just definitely seems like a very low number from the odds makers right now. I guess I get it with, you know, the uncertainty along the offensive line. There's some, you know, pass rush issues with the squad going into this year. And then just overall the cube, I guess the offensive coordinator change, they're thinking maybe there might be some lag in what, you know, it has to get this team up to speed and really producing on the field. I think I've talked about it before. I don't know if I'm being a homer or just the way I see things. For me, the Saints squad, I see a ton of talent that hopefully can come together. The offensive line, yes, is the biggest concern for me. And right now, I know, you know, the questions about the offensive line, we're not even close to being answered, because Monday is finally day one of getting into pads. Right now is pretty much like these OTA mini camp sessions for you out there.
Yeah, it's basically a warm up for the actual practices. And there's not a ton of time to in those practices to really get your feet on the ground. So you got to take advantage of it, but you also can't read too much into it. Right. And it's funny because, like, flying under the radar, you know, it's a positive thing as long as you ultimately end up above the radar in the end.
Yes.
You know, if you stay under the radar all season, then you're just bad. That's just where you were. But we'll get into that. So this first segment, I want to kind of hit a rundown. We're going to just throw some news at you, some notes from what we've observed or what I've observed on these first 2 days. Second segment, I want to get into five things I think, which, again, it's all, you know, for a lot of things right now, you're just like, this looks that way. Is it going to stay that way? Like, for instance, I have not seen a single rep of nickel defense in team drills. And one of the big things you wanted to watch was, okay, how does Alante Taylor look in the slot?
Right.
How does Kool-Aid McKinstry look in the slot? Well, when there's no slot corner on the field, it's hard to make a determination about whether either of those guys has improved or is going to look well in the slot. So that's the type of stuff we'll talk about. Segment three, I want to get into a live mailbag. I know it's late, so hopefully we get enough comments in there. If you're watching,
throw your comments. I think we got a late night crowd.
We'll see. But all right, let's kind of get into a rundown here. First things first, no surprise with the absences on day one. We talked about this. I posted a podcast beforehand. Juwan Johnson, Nephi Sewell, Tano Pasigno, all on PUP, all absent. I did see Nephi Sewell out there today working with trainers kind of on the secondary field. It's not even really true. So the way it's set up, you have a main field, and you can kind of see it in the clips package. You have a main field and then a secondary field. So when the first team offense is on one side, the second team offense is usually on the other side, kind of getting stuff done. And then there's like space behind the fields, and that's where Nephi was getting in some work with trainers. Now, he looks a long way off, right? It's good to see him out there. He's recovering from that ACL in week 17. But we're talking about light jogging, right? Very minimal, no cutting, anything like that. So he's definitely not a guy I would anticipate that we see anytime soon. But he's working back, right? Chase Young was out there. I've been impressed with what I've seen. Again, we have not seen a ton, but he's moving well. He's a big dude. Like, he's a big dude. Like, it's hard to even drive that point home. And when you see him next to
that one video you had posted, you compare, like, he just looks big even next to the other offensive and defensive linemen.
Right. You think he's a big dude and that you're standing next to normal people. And then you put him next to off their defensive lineman. You're like, oh, he's still massive even compared to them. So it's going to be interesting to see at what point he starts to work into team drills. Right. He's dealing with that neck. It doesn't seem like there's any limitations. So I'd like to think that it happens soon, but they're going to be careful with him. So we'll go into that. Now, there are a couple other elements. Kendre Miller, definitely not gaining any new fans in the room right now.
It doesn't even sound like Dennis Allen is a fan right now.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Dennis Allen came out. So Kendre Miller pulled his hamstring on the first set of individual drills on the first day of practice, right? Dennis Allen comes out afterward and says, is a guy who needs to figure out how to stay healthy, right? He's a guy who... It's tough to make a team from the training room. Now, keep in mind, he was not asked specifically about Kendre Miller. He was asked about kind of the health in general, and he volunteered that soundbite. So, just like, I think that's kind of telling, like, there's frustration there. And it's not just about, like, oh, this guy's got bad injury luck. Like, this team sees this as a situation where you're talking about preventable things that continue to crop up, right? And it's a product of not necessarily investing the time and energy that you need to invest in keeping your body healthy. Right. And that's tough. It's a tough thing to kind of figure out because sometimes it is just bad luck. Right. But clearly there's some frustration there. And if he can't get that sorted out, I don't know how long his Saints career is going to last.
I was going to say Deuce McAllister was on Sports Talk right before training camp and kind of foreshadowed this and talking about how one of the major things for Kendre Miller was he's got to be more professional about keeping his body intact. And what happens the first day? It's just obviously not a good look for the Saints, you know, third round pick. And I'm just curious, do they end up bringing in another running back, at least for a look to provide more depth during camp?
We'll see. I mean, I think it's going to depend how long that injury lingers,
right?
And you'll go from there. Hopefully he can get back. Hopefully it's kind of a wake up call for him. And, but I don't know, man, it's frustrating because you know, there's a talented player in there. We've seen it. We've seen the talent. We've seen him get out there and lead the team in rushing in a big offensive performance. It's the last game we watched. And it just seems like we're getting more of the same in terms of just can't stay on the field. So we'll find out. One take that I find annoying is like, oh, they took him instead of Tyjae Spears. They were never drafting Tyjae Spears. It wasn't one or the other.
That's like, a big one locally, though. You know it.
I know it is, but it's just only because he went to Tulane.
Right.
Like, that's the only reason. If he didn't go to Tulane, no one would be talking about Tyjae Spears. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Like, they drafted Kendre because they scouted Kendre and they liked what they scouted. Now, it's funny because they're like, oh, well, they didn't draft Tyjae because he was in an injury history. It's like, they drafted Kendre. He was injured when they drafted him. So clearly it was not about the injury history. Anyway, we'll go into that.
You mentioned those flashes have looked really impressive. Obviously, you see some of that. His college footage at TCU, you see that explosiveness. You see even some power from him. And I was right off the bat impressed with the fact that everybody was saying he didn't really was involved in the receiving game in college and looked to be really comfortable doing that with the Saints.
Yeah. And that's the frustrating thing is you feel like there is a player in there that could contribute.
Yeah.
Just hasn't been on the field to contribute. So one other injury that happened today, Trajan Jeffcoat, a UDFA out of Arkansas. I know he started at Missouri. Went to Arkansas. I could be wrong. He dislocated his elbow during one of the sets of team drills. It seems like he avoided any major injury, but he's going to miss some time, right? Like when you dislocate your elbow, when you dislocate anything, even if you don't tear ligaments significantly, that's an injury that takes a little while to come back from. So yeah, it's a bummer for him. I think he was kind of working his way into potentially making the roster. Like I wouldn't have put him on my roster projection, my next roster projection, but he's definitely on that fringe when you're talking about, okay, what UDFAs could make the roster. he would be in that group for me. So I don't know. Hopefully he can get back. But yeah, that's a bummer of an injury for him.
Yeah, don't know much about the player, but I saw, you know, the news coming out today, and obviously disappointing for the guy. And just reading the reports of just you were there, obviously, it seemed like he was really in a ton of pain.
Yeah, you could hear him yelling.
Dislocating an elbow.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to imagine that he might have been in a lot of pain when you hear he dislocated an elbow. Yeah, that doesn't happen. Just, you know, it's not like he just like stumbled and the elbow popped out. Like, no, there's a lot of force involved anyway. So that's a bummer. Hopefully he can get back. You know, the Saints, it's interesting. Like one of the nice things about coming out here is they have a lot of Southern California connections on this roster. Like Derek Carr has a house out here. Obviously he played for the Raiders, he played at Fresno State. So, you know, obviously Jake Haener, also Fresno State, Jordan Mims, Fresno State. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, both are from San Diego. Equanimeous St. Brown is from out here as well. And his family has actually been, not Amon-Ra, obviously, but his father, John, has been at the camp practices for the last 2 days. So I expect, you know, it's funny, there's no fans there. So anyone who's around the field, they're like, oh, he must be connected to somebody. So there's a lot of family and friends out there. And Chris said he's expecting to have some family and friends out there in the next couple of weeks. So it's a good spot for them. Like, I think, you know, you look at it like, okay, I understand why a bunch of these guys wanted to come out here.
So is Equanimeous's dad still a physical specimen?
You know, he's a former bodybuilder.
Right.
But he does not look like it anymore. Like, he dropped all that weight. Yeah, he just looks like a normal dude now. But, like he's in shape. But I would never, you look at him, you're like, oh, is this a former bodybuilder? No, you would be like, okay. You know, more on the performance. And again, we will talk about it. It's just not a ton that we need to dive into. Derek Carr has looked solid, right? And I had, and both of my assessments of the first 2 days of practice has been, he's looked good. He's had, you know, he's really kind of ho-hum. You're not doing anything exciting on the offense right now, but he's looked solid except for two passes, one pass each day. The first one was the first pass in the set of team drills, and DeMario Davis just stepped in front of it. They were trying to do it was a crossing route to Rashid Shaheed, and the timing wasn't there. DeMario stepped in front of it. Today, it was a ball to Cedric Wilson over the middle of the field again, and it was the last pass of the day for Derek. So he kind of bookended these first 2 days with interceptions. This one, I was talking to Deuce about it. On my initial kind of look at it, my only look at it, I would say it was a high ball, that the ball probably could have been a little better. Deuce disagreed. He said it was where it should have been, and Cedric should have caught it. Instead, he tipped it up. So, I mean, it's a good example of, like, we only get to watch these plays in live action once. The coaches are going to go back and be like, okay, this was a good pass, this was a bad pass, and decide who they want to criticize. Either way, you can't tip the ball up, and that's what happened. Cedric Wilson kind of tipped it. Paul Sanudibo came down with it. So that's why, you know, it's funny. Like, I had someone be like, well, why are you – this is your assessment of both days. How is – and I was like, that's what it is. He went 9 of 10. On passes today, Derek.
Yeah, I saw that in your notes, and that one, obviously a pick.
The one was the interception. So it's hard to kind of weigh that. It's like, you can't not talk about the interception, but you also can't look at it and say, well, he didn't have a good day because that one pass got picked off. DA talked about the interceptions, and he made a good point, which is, at this point, particularly in a new offense, you know, a lot of it is just trying to figure out what you can do, like where you can fit balls in, where you can get a little more aggressive, where you have to kind of take a step back, you know, and this is the process where you start to feel it out, like not throwing interceptions because you just didn't take any chances and didn't figure those things out isn't necessarily a positive either. So, you know, I think as a kind of media core, we look for stuff to report. And so we report the interceptions and we talk about the interceptions, sure. But a lot of times it's like, it's not that on its face. Like, that's why, I mean, we talked about this, I hate camp stats because they're so just bland and vague, and they miss the point by so much. But yeah, Derek's look good. Where I've been a little disappointed is the backup quarterbacks, and they got plenty of time. They got plenty of time, both these guys. I wouldn't say like, oh my gosh, so we're in panic mode, but I don't know if either kind of put the foot forward that they would have hoped to. Particularly Jake. I was hoping to see Jake come out and really kind of put his stamp on things. And I don't know if he has. He had an interception today to Rod Teamer. He was trying to hit Bub Means on kind of a skinny post. And Rod just stepped in front of it. It was a really nice play by Rod. And that's kind of the give and take of, like, okay, sometimes a good play on defense beats the offense, even if they did everything right. But, Yeah, so he missed both of his attempts on team drills today. He completed, I think, one or two in 7-on-7s. It's just like, I want to see one of those guys really kind of take ownership of that role. I don't care who it is, but it's got to be one of them. And right now, I just don't see it from either of them. Now, 2 days of practice, right? Like, don't take that and run with it. There's a ton of time left and a ton of questions that all these guys have left to answer. But, you know, I think as I kind of look at this and we get further and further down the road, to me, a tie goes to Rattler. And I start to look at it and I say, you know, if I was making kind of a bold prediction of like what might happen that no one is talking about right now. And I asked Deuce about this and his response was 0%. And I'm going to challenge it. I think it's maybe like 3% is Nathan Peterman makes the roster instead of Jake Haener.
I was going to say you were pumping up Peterman. I'm waiting to hear about him.
Well, I mean, there's not a ton, right? There's not a ton. He had a really nice, like the play of the day in sevens, like nothing to lose. I'm Nate Peterman. I'm just going to chuck it. And he just, it was a gorgeous ball to Mason Tipton for a touchdown. Mac McCain was in coverage. And it was, you know, it was the play of the day. There's no question. It was not a debate. This was the play of the day. He got more reps today after that. I think he earned some more reps, you know, with some of these throws. And I'm not saying he's going to make the roster. But as you kind of look at it and you, if you get to a point later in camp where you don't feel like either Jake Haener or Spencer Rattler is ready to be a game day backup quarterback. That is a realistic scenario. And that's why when Deuce says 0% chance, I put it more like a 5% chance. Because I do think one of those guys is going to step forward. But what if neither does? Then what do you
Peterman
do?
Peterman does have the game, you know, the reps.
Exactly. And you're not going to cut Spencer. There's really nothing he could do to get cut in his rookie season. Whereas Jake, I feel like if he's just not showing what you need him to show, you will move on from him. And if you do,
Carmichael guy.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like if I'm making a bold prediction of like, what's an off the wall thing that no one is talking about right now, it's that Nate Peterman ends up being your backup quarterback. You keep Spencer Rattler and you move on from Jake, but you know, we're way far from that. I don't even know why I should be bringing
it
up
right now.
I don't
even think that's honestly that crazy of a notion either.
But they have Nate here for a reason, right? And if you get to week one and you're like, I want to have a backup that I feel confident can go in and run the offense and is not going to just destroy their own confidence because they're not ready.
Right.
I could see that happening. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The one other guy that I want to talk about that I kind of dismissed prior to training camp, and I do want to give a little credit, Matt Haball looked really impressive today. This was the first time in camp we saw him kind of unleash some punts. And he's got a leg, man. He's got a leg. And he can kick all the different punts. Like we saw the helicopter punt. We saw the spiral punt. We saw the end over end punt. He had one that I think had to go at least 60 yards. Jermaine Jackson was back there and he didn't catch up to it. It went over his head and bounced.
Wow.
Because he's so he's got a leg. He's got a cannon leg. Now he did have a shank too. And I think that's kind of the give and take is like, okay, do you want to go with a rookie? But you can see the skill set. I still think it's Headley's job, but I can see a scenario where Haball pushes him. It was kind of an eye opening performance from him today. Cause we really haven't seen a ton, of like actual punt return situations, through OTAs and minicamp. But that's my last like little observation here from the top.
I was going to ask you, the first 2 days, have there been any of the seeing more of the new kickoff being worked in effect?
A little bit. We haven't really seen the full kickoff. We saw kind of the individual, like they'll work on segments of it. Like today they had one returner back instead of two. And it was really kind of training the inside. I don't even know what you'd call them. There's got to be names for these positions, but it's not the gunners who would be on the outside, but the two guys on the inside and how you kind of angle when the returner is coming up the middle. Right. And so that was what they worked on. I wouldn't say it was the full kickoff. You kind of just saw like I think there's going to be an open competition to see who's going to be that other returner next to Rashid. You know, you got Jamal Williams, right? James Robinson. I almost said Tony Robinson.
I thought you were going to say Tony Jones. I'm like, no, he's way gone. Yeah.
Mason Tipton was back there. I think Khalid McKinstry was back there. I wrote it down, but it's all the usual suspects. Taysom Hill, like they're gonna try people out, and we're gonna see how that goes. But yeah, they're gonna spend a lot of time on it. I think it's gonna be something they do in pads too. I think they're gonna take a good chunk of some of these pads practices and work on that, because like you gotta train it at some point.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it's like when you get in pads, I know things are going to get a lot more intense. Basically, now we're looking at all the skill position players still. And just real quick, I don't know if you want to do it this segment. Just curious, the early thoughts on Khalid McKinstry being able to at least take the field. We haven't seen much of him because he was working his way back from that foot injury, but appears he's a full go now, right?
Seems that way. We haven't seen any limitations. He's moving around well. Like I think I mentioned this earlier in the show, they've been running everything out of base the first two days. So we have not seen a slot rep, really. Will Harris is actually the only guy who's gotten slot reps, because when the second team comes on, they've gone into nickel, and Khalid goes outside and Alante's outside on the other side. So even in those reps where you do have a slot corner on the field, it's Will Harris. And that's, I think Will Harris is kind of third on that totem pole when you're talking about slot corners, but he's looked good. Like, again, I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh my God, he's getting in and out of breaks and blah, 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 blah. He looks solid. He looks like what I would hope to see from a young guy getting into his first training camp, but hopefully he can build on it. He hasn't gotten burned on any reps. They had a kind of a neat drill today. You saw some of it in the highlights of, like, you had wide receivers and cornerbacks going one-on-one. And there's no, it's kind of a one-on-one rep. Like, you've seen one-on-one reps. But this was really just jam, get off, and there's no ball. Like, there's no quarterback throwing the ball. It's literally just the wide receivers trying to get off the line and the cornerbacks trying to stop them, trying to jam them. And that was kind of an interesting drill. Khalid, I think he got burned once. He didn't get a hand on a guy, but he had another one. I want to say it was Mason Tipton, or it could have been Stanley Morgan. I don't know. He just locked him up. And so that was kind of a fun. And you could really see the difference in terms of Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and the footwork that they have and what they're able to do at the line of scrimmage. You're not going to see a lot of press coverage on those guys. But if they get it, they got to burn it. So I did think that was a good look. Like, safeties are up there too. You can't overreact to a safety getting burned in something they're never going to do. But it's just kind of good reps, and I thought that was interesting. But we saw Khalid in there a couple times. You look good.
Good to hear. I'm just concerned, obviously, about him working his way back from the foot, and was hoping he'd be able to, take part in drills right away, just because we just saw him working off in the side during minicamp.
Yep. No, that's definitely true. And it's good to see him out there. I'm interested to see if they find a way to get four cornerbacks on the field at one time.
Yeah.
Because I think that there is some interesting options that you could go to with Tyrann Mathieu as the lone safety. And then you have across the board Alante, Khalid, Paulson, and Marshawn. And you find a way, and especially later in a game, if a team's trying to come back where, they're in pass mode, and you can get those cover corners on the field. But all right, let's wrap up that segment. We're going to come back. We're going to hit the five things I think after the break. And we're going to start back on the wide receivers, because I got a lot to say. We're also going to hit that mailbag in the final segment. So you have comments, questions, make sure to throw them in there. Otherwise, stick around. This is Inside Black and Gold on location.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
T-Mobile.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.